For me, this feast of the Solemnity of Corpus Christi brings to mind the scene of the procession in Orvieto. This is the place over in Italy where this feast was first instituted. There was a miracle, a Eucharistic miracle, and they created this great cathedral and a reliquary to support they had a corporal there that had the blood from a host that became the body and blood of Christ, the very presence of Christ. There were colors, uniforms, flowers, people processing, music, all these different things going on. And it's a great celebration. I was able to go one time when I was studying over in Italy. And we were marching and walking and singing the famous Eucharistic hymn, Tantum Ergo, the first part, which goes like this. Come adore this wondrous presence. Bow to Christ, the source of grace. Here is kept the ancient promise of God's earthly dwelling place. Sight is blind before God's glory. Faith alone may see His face. These words and the words of the sequence that we sang today or we recited today remind us, the language that we use is a little bit different. It's a little bit, the translation is a little bit older than maybe we would speak in our own time. But it reminds us too that we're stepping into something that's outside of this world. We're stepping into something much greater than what we see. We have to have a great reverence for the Eucharist. And there's different ways we do that. If we think about how Catholics showed reverence to the Eucharist a long time ago, before Vatican II, there's a little different sense of that. People would come up to a communion rail and they would kneel and receive the host on their tongue. And they would have servers with a little plate thing, a thing called a paten, that they would try to catch if the host were to drop or something like that. We can dispense with all those things, and we have in many ways. Not that some places they still do that kind of thing, but the church doesn't need to do those things. But it's not that we're getting rid of reverence. We're not changing and moving away from reverence, but instead the idea is that we more freely are expressing our reverence for Christ. And we need to remember that when we come to receive the Eucharist, we're coming to receive the very presence of Jesus. How do we do that? How do we do that? And how are we coming to the Lord? These are good questions for us to ask. There are many ways of participating in the Eucharist. When we come up to receive, we can examine our soul. Are we in a state ready to receive? Are we in communion with Christ's church? Making regular use of the sacrament of reconciliation is a very important part of receiving the Eucharist. If we are separated from God, we need to be reconciled. If we think about, if you have a friend and you say something unkind about them or to them, and they're hurt by that, and then you go out to eat with that friend and you sit down to eat that meal together, until you've apologized, until there's been a reconciliation, that meal cannot be shared on the same level. It can't be shared intimately with that person because there's a certain rupture there. And so we need to be reconciled. And it's the same with the Eucharist. There's spiritual communion. This is when we invite Jesus into our souls, and it's possible to receive an equal grace to actually receive in the Eucharist itself. If we come with full heart and ready to enter in and we want to receive Jesus. If you think of a loved one, maybe you have a loved one who's far away, a spouse or a child, and we can only talk to them on the phone at this point. It's not the same as being in their physical presence. We might, when we're away from them, we might sort of think about them or think about what it's going to be like when we can be with them. And that same way, there's sort of a way that we get at what spiritual communion is. We enter into communion with the Lord who deeply wants to be with us. We can receive with love and devotion the Eucharist. Having an awareness of the gift is really important. Not taking that gift for granted. We approach and we receive the body and blood with love. We don't take the Eucharist, we receive the Eucharist. If we approach the Eucharist as if it's just a piece of bread, how much love does that really show our Lord? If you think about it, like the example of a wife who creates a meal for she and her husband to share, and maybe he comes home and he sits down and he scarfs it all up real fast and he doesn't say thank you, doesn't say anything, that's probably not what she wanted, right? And so it's the same thing. The Lord wants to commune with us. He wants us to go deeper. It's about the relationship, not just about receiving the bread. we're receiving Jesus. Do we show that when we come to receive Him? Another way we can cultivate that Eucharistic devotion is daily Mass, where we can come to receive Jesus, cultivating that relationship daily or whenever we can. If we think about, again, if we have a friend who lives maybe at a nursing home or something like that, and how much they love it when people come to visit them. If they live maybe a place close to our work and we never go to visit them, you know, they might just start to wonder, how come they never come to visit? How come they never want to see me? And it's the same with our Lord. Do we show a desire to come to Him, to meet Him, when we can? In the same way, adoration. When we come to pray with our Lord in His physical presence, adoring, imploring, sitting quietly with Him, might we make that a point? You know, we have an adoration chapel here at St. Mary's of the Sea. How often do we stop in, even if it's just for a minute, to say, Jesus, I'm in a big rush, I'm in a hurry, but hello, good to see you. We'll talk to you again later. You know, we can do that. We can come to the Lord. And then coming to Mass on time and coming and remaining until the end of Mass, you know, I know sometimes it's hard to get to Mass. Don't take this as a, you know, I'm trying to get people who come late or whatever, or leave early. Sometimes it's necessary. But when we make a habit of it, what does that say? Again, is it saying something about whether we care about this? If I have a friend and I invite them to different events and every time they come late and they leave early, well, I might just say, start to think to myself, does that friend really care about me? Do they really want to be with me? So again, this, what are we showing when we come to the Lord? All these ways are ways that we can come to know Him, come to be with Him in the Eucharist. On the feast of Corpus Christi, it's meant to help us to cultivate that devotion to the Eucharist, to Jesus, His physical presence in the Eucharist. And this feast is established to help us, to remind us that this is an important thing. This is an important thing of our Catholic faith. It's prefigured in the Old Testament. We see today Abraham receiving a blessing from Melchizedek, a priestly figure. And we see it in the New Testament, in the Gospel today, the feeding of the 5,000. These are sort of signs, prefigurements of what the Eucharist is. But at the Last Supper, and now, in our own time, we share again in Christ's sacrifice, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. He pours Himself out for us. You know, it's been the constant teaching of the Church, this idea of the Eucharist is the true presence of Jesus, over the whole time that the Church has existed. Time and again, it's been attacked in different ways. You know, is this true? Can we really believe this? And we see that throughout history, that's been attacked, and yet that teaching has remained. And where the Eucharist is denied, where the true presence is denied, we see a weakening of that salvific action or that salvific understanding of who Jesus is. If we don't need Christ's body and blood, if we don't need His sacrifice, then in a sense we begin to kind of rely on ourselves. Jesus is an example, right? Somebody we follow, but that's about all He is. And if we don't need to partake of that salvific action of Jesus again and again, it's simply up to us to be good people and to make ourselves saved in a sense. Remember the Paschal meal. Remember the Paschal meal that the Israelites partook of. They sacrificed and celebrated this year in and year out. They ate of the lamb. They put the blood on the doorposts. It wasn't just something they did once, but they did it again and again and again, year after year. This again was a prefigurement of Jesus. Jesus coming to sacrifice Himself for us. Because Jesus is what? He's the Lamb of God. By eating of the Lamb, we share in the sacrifice. We partake of the power that He gives to forgive our sins, to grow in holiness, to come to know Him, to come to believe in Him. Jesus is the one who leads us to Himself. Today we know and we recall, we believe in the Eucharist. We show our love for Jesus and we offer Him ourselves in humble thanks. It's a day to consider, how can I show greater love for Jesus in the Eucharist? How can I show my belief? How can I grow in reverence for Jesus' body and blood? Today, let us cultivate that love for Jesus in the Eucharist, and may we be transformed. O Lord, I believe and profess that You are truly Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. Accept me as a partaker of your mystical supper, O Son of God, for I will not reveal your mystery to your enemies, nor will I give you a kiss, as Judas did. But like the thief, I confess to you, remember me, O Lord, when you shall come into your kingdom. May the partaking of your holy mysteries, O Lord, be not for me judgment and condemnation, but for the healing of soul and body. O Lord, I also believe and profess that this, which I am about to receive, is truly your most precious blood and your life-giving blood, which I pray make me worthy to receive for the remission of all my sins and for life everlasting. Amen.